This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Quite a bit to discuss with 4th District Congressman Jim Himes, who joins us now on Brian and Company. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing well, thank you.
I appreciate the time. You know, I've thought a lot about how to talk about some things with you this morning, and so you gotta just sort of bear with me. I consider myself, I'm unaffiliated. I vote split tickets. I find myself, you know, if I had push comes to shove, maybe slightly right of center, but very much center. And there are some issues that I really struggle with, which is, you know, that are happening right now in our world. And I was listening to some of your stuff with Bill Kristol yesterday and some other things. You know, to me, the dealing and intimidation with political opponents, some of the ICE stuff as it relates to undocumented who have not been convicted of a crime. And Russia, we had let Putin set foot on our soil, yet it's worse there than before that meeting, and there never was any follow-up meeting. But it seems like the criticism and the pushback, not just from the left, but from anybody, it just seems to bounce right off and doesn't necessarily take root or hold. And I'm wondering why you think this is, and what do you think is going to happen? Maybe you can go into any of the particular issues, but it doesn't seem like a lot of the pushback gets any traction these days.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's no arguing that the personality of the president is one, and this has been true for, I think, his entire lifetime, is to just plunge ahead with whatever he feels is the right thing to do. When people start raising objections, to sue them. You know, he did that, you know, decades ago, and he's, you know, tried to do it now with the New York Times. And, you know, never apologize and just keep going. And, you know, he's had some success with that model, right? I mean, he can intimidate people to get out of his way, to do what he wants. And, you know, it's not a left-right thing, right? I mean, one of the funny things about this political moment, it sort of fascinates me with respect to the Republican Party, because Trump is dedicated to some stuff, a lot of stuff, that 15 years ago would have been absolutely toxic to the Republican Party, right? Yeah. What's at the core of the Republican Party? It's free markets and keeping government the heck out of the capitalist economy. But Donald Trump wakes up every day and takes another stake in a company, Intel, NVIDIA, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
Tells CEOs how they should be running their business. On immigration, you know, the Republican Party used to be the pro-immigration party because they liked the idea of having people here to sort of press down wages. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And so it's really not a left-right thing. You asked the question exactly the right way. It's more a personality thing.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Congressman, because I think about the Kimmel thing, and you got a little bit of heat for, you know, your post that evening. And the pushback is, well, the left did a whole bunch of other stuff and that was as bad or maybe worse when it came to cancel culture and so on and so forth. But for me, that sort of misses the point. I thought that the virtue of free speech was to try and set it straight and go on the path that conservatives thought we should go, right? So instead of saying like, oh, well, we're doing this and that's no worse than what you did 10 years ago, I thought the point was to change the narrative and want free speech. Does that make sense to me, to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, let me say this. What you described perfectly something called whataboutism, right? Like, okay, our guys did something that maybe I'm a little uncomfortable, but what about Biden? What about Clinton? You know, we don't accept that argument from three-year-olds in our home. I raised two girls, right? And when one smacked the other when they were five, and she said, well, what about what she did yesterday? You shut that right down. You know, so point one, if you are reduced to making what about arguments, you're accepting an argument that we don't accept from toddlers. Number two, it's largely baloney. And look, I'll cop to the fact that in, you know, at Amherst College or at Berkeley or at Yale, there were episodes where students refused to allow right-wing speakers. And let me just say this as clearly as I can. That's wrong, period, full stop. I'm not going to try to say, oh, well, you know, at this university, the right-wingers did it. It's wrong, full stop. But at the government level, we've never seen anything like this, not even close to anything like this, you know. And so MAGA folks point to the fact that the Biden Centers for Disease Control tried to stop. They didn't arrest anybody. They didn't threaten to prosecute anybody. But when some poster on social media was saying, you know, you can drink bleach to get rid of COVID, they would call them up and say, that's not factual. It's going to hurt a lot of people. Now, I should tell you, that troubles me. I don't think the government should be in the business of, even in the service of, you know, trying to stop dangerous speech, should be very careful about getting into that. But come on, we don't accept what about defenses from toddlers. And secondly, you know, yeah, what about the First Amendment? You know, in this country, you get to say what you want, even if it's hideous. By the way, especially if it's hideous. The First Amendment is not there to protect speech that we all like. The First Amendment is there to protect controversial speech, you know, like the speech of Patrick Henry or Thomas Jefferson, who at the time, half the people thought that they were traitors. Yeah. That's why we have the First Amendment.
Well, it's good that you acknowledge some of the, you know, past issues on the other side of the ledger that...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We're not consistent with free speech. The problem with the Kimmel example is that what he said wasn't true. So if he said something that was sharply critical and true, I think the debate would be a little more dynamic on him specifically. But clearly, between Nextar and all that other stuff, there's a lot more going on, and I don't want to rehash that because we don't have the time. We're talking with Jim Himes, congressman from the 4th District here on Brian and Company. I wanted to get to some other issues, maybe just one more if we could. I'm curious about your thoughts on the recognition of some of our strongest allies of a Palestinian state. And, you know, it seems to only be getting worse. And Netanyahu and to some degree the United States seem to be on a bit of an island here. And I'm just curious about your thoughts on that issue.
Yeah, sure. No, we need 3 hours for that. But yeah. Hey, let me circle back real quickly to your last point. You said, well, the problem with Jimmy Kimmel, what he said wasn't true. If we started sanctioning people for saying stuff that wasn't true, there would not be a congressman, a senator, or certainly not a president of the United States right now. You know, and by the way, these are entertainers, right? They're in the business of, you know, satire and stuff. So anyway, I just wanted to close that out.
Right, but at the same time, people would push back that, you know, people who were skeptical about the vaccines for COVID or the shutdowns, and they got silenced. So I didn't want to open up a can of worms on that conversation because there's a lot that can be said on both sides. That's all.
But there's only one thing that needs to be said, which is in this country, you get to say whatever you want without the threat of the government going after you. It's there in the First Amendment.
Yep.
But anyway, I just that's so important that I just want to close out there. Doesn't matter if it's true. Doesn't matter if it's ugly. You get to say it in the United States of America. Okay. So, Israel. Look. You know, I saw the Prime Minister's comment today, or yesterday, I guess it was, where he said there will never be a Palestinian state. There are 5 million Arabs west of the Jordan River. There's about 5 million Jews and about 5 million Arabs. Two of those 5 million Arabs are Israelis. You just can't tell 5 million Arabs in a region that forever and ever and ever, you're not going to have any hope of your own state. That is a recipe for disaster and violence and terrorism. What's happening in Gaza right now, which, you know, is part of an effort that Israel had every right to do, which was to go after the people that perpetrated the worst atrocity in Israel ever on October 7th of 2 years ago, has now become a humanitarian nightmare. You know, there's something like 60,000 dead Gazans. A lot of these are women and children. People are starving there. So, you know, one thing is clear, which is that this war needs to go the opposite direction that the prime minister is taking it. There is no way he is going to wipe out every idiot Hamas 19-year-old with an AK-47. Netanyahu's own military commanders are telling him that. So we need to work today for a ceasefire that allows the Palestinians in Gaza to not, you know, starve to death, to not have, you know, dozens and dozens of fatalities every single day. And then we somehow need to get on track. And by the way, I should say, I was in Israel a couple of months ago, and, you know, Netanyahu's not the only one who has lost faith in the two-state solution. For obvious reasons, given what happened on October 7th, a lot of Israelis have too. But the point is, we got to get a ceasefire in place, start the hard work that we've been trying to do for decades to get to a, you know, stable and just solution where two people can live side by side in a dignified, safe way.
Yeah, Congressman, we appreciate the time. It's always hard to track you down, but we wish we had more, and hopefully we look forward to more conversations in the future.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I always enjoy being on the show.
All right, thank you, Congressman. Have a great day.
Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.